Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, and let's praise his name. Glory to God. Welcome, everyone, to Christian Talk, our Christian Talk special, Christmas special. And just in case you guys missed this message on Monday on the UCA program, our UCA program on Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific time, this is a repeat message for those of you who may have missed it. And if you want to hear it again, that's great. Just call the number, you know, the number 646-668-8537, or go on Facebook and listen from your computer. Okay. And go ahead and hear the whole program. Tell your friends and family about it. Okay. So don't go away. We're going to be right back after this. And we'll get right into the message. Don't go away.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, "Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see? A star." star, a star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the tree, with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea.
Christian Talk, the Christian Talk Christmas special. Okay, let's get right into the message. Father God, thank you so much for those who have tuned in today, Lord. I pray that this message be a blessing to them and it will help them to have more understanding of who you are and the true birth of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we pray in Jesus' holy name. This message is the real story of the birth of Jesus Christ. There's so much that took place during that time. So here we go. The real, true story of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to start this story with the prophet Daniel, because his story plays a big part when it comes to the birth of Jesus Christ. While in captivity to the Babylonians, Daniel was exalted and served under four kings during his lifetime in Babylon because of the Spirit of the Lord being with him. Daniel had learned the Babylonian language, their enchantments, the reading of the stars and all their ways, and Daniel was eventually put over all the magicians in Babylon because the Spirit of the Lord was with him. Now, these magi or magicians were the people that the kings would call on to do their enchantments, to solve problems, do fortune telling, reading of the stars, and other divinations for the king. But Daniel was 10 times smarter than all of these magicians because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The king eventually made Daniel the head of them all. But Daniel remained faithful to the Lord, although he was over all of these worldly astronomers, witches, magicians, and so on. Daniel still taught all of them. He taught and told all of these Babylonian magicians about the coming of the Messiah. And he left them clear instructions to follow in the event of his death, commanding them to teach the next generation of magi and for the generations to follow to continue to teach of the Messiah and his star. And they did so for 14 generations. Every generation of magi or wise men were taught of the Messiah. Daniel had all of the astronomers that were under him, both Babylonians and Jews, to teach every generation about the coming of the Messiah, for them to pass this teaching down to every generation of magi, instructing them to look for his star until the generation came that was actually to see the star. That was to actually see the star. He taught that when they see the star, they should follow it because it would lead them to the Messiah. And they were to give the Messiah Daniel's gifts. So Daniel taught all of the wise men to teach the generations after them and on until they reached the generation of magi known as the wise men, who would see the star and find the Messiah. They were to give Yeshua Jesus, the child, Daniel's gift, his gifts. They were to give to the Lord, the Messiah, Daniel's gifts. You see, Daniel never married, but after serving four kings, he became very wealthy. So he prepared gifts to be handed down to every generation of wise men to give to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Daniel prophesied while in captivity that the Messiah would come in 483 years. In other words, he said that their king would come. He would make himself known in 483 years. And Jesus actually started his ministry 483 years after the prophecy of Daniel. After Daniel prophesied that, 483 years later, it actually happened. It was fulfilled, just as Daniel said. Now, let's move forward a few hundred years to the first chapter of Matthew, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother, Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child, the Holy Spirit. Now, the book of Matthew just leaves it at that. But if you turn to the book of Luke, he goes into a little more detail. Luke tells us that the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary at some point, and this is what he said when he appeared to Mary, Luke chapter 1 verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women." Now, it is true that Mary was highly favored and blessed among women because she was about to give birth to the Son of God. But still, she is not to be worshipped for this. She was being obedient to the will of God, and she submitted herself to him. That's something that we all should take a lesson in today, submitting totally to the pure word of God. Now, Mary didn't quite understand why this angel was saluting her in this manner. After all, he just appeared. So she was fearful at first. But the angel went on to say, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. First of all, it's important to note that the angel said that she would conceive in her womb, not her egg. Mary was merely a human incubator for the Lord to house the, she was a human incubator for the Lord. She was merely there to house the incorruptible seed of God. None of Mary's fallen natured blood flowed through the veins of Jesus. That would have corrupted him. Jesus had to be pure. He had to be the perfect sacrifice. He was God in the flesh, so he had to only have the DNA of God and God alone, no mixture. That's why his birth was a miraculous birth. Now, here's a quick note. Keep in mind that Mary was not the mother of God. She was the mother of the child, baby Jesus. Nowhere in the Bible did the apostles ever refer to Mary as the mother of God. This is something that Catholicism teaches. But she was called the mother of the child Jesus, later to be the mother of John the Revelator, because Jesus gave her to John when he was on the cross. Remember in John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son," referring to the disciple. In other words, referring to John the Revelator, that is. Then saith he to John the Revelator, the apostle, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Okay, so now let's move forward. Let's continue, in other words. So now Mary had a question. You see, she was a virgin. So how can she have a baby? Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now, this is what I really liked. You know, Mary had a question. She asked a question, and it was a reasonable question. And the angel explained how this was going to happen. Verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God." The King James Version of the Bible doesn't really show how excited Mary was. But she was extremely happy, overjoyed about this. Think about it. Some of you women out there, wouldn't you be? If an angel of the Lord came to you and said that you were going to give birth to the Son of God, wouldn't you be overjoyed? Now, Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, was pregnant with John the Baptist. She was in her sixth month. But here's the thing that's quite interesting. Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, the high priest, was doing his part in the temple when Gabriel, the angel, appeared to him. Now, keep in mind, the angel appeared to him first. Then the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. He appeared to announce that his wife, Elizabeth, was going to have a son, and for him to name his son John. John would become the last of the Old Testament prophets. He was called John the Baptist, the one prophesied to come. He was the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. But Zechariah was having a hard time believing that he was going to have a son because he was old and his wife was old also. Zechariah asked for some kind of sign, and the angel gave him a sign. The angel told him that he would be dumb, unable to speak a word for 9 months until John was born. Here was Zechariah's mistake. First of all, Zechariah, being the high priest, should have been aware of two things. Number one, an angel of the Lord is right in your face, and he's telling you that you are going to have a son in your old age. And number two, you know that this is possible for God to do this. It's not impossible. It is possible because you read something like that in the Torah. So you know that it happened hundreds of years ago to Abraham when his wife Sarah gave birth to Isaac in her old age. Come on, Zach. What the angel told Mary was more impossible to believe than what he told Zechariah. Mary was going to have a baby without the assistance of a man, but Zechariah would come together with his wife and bring forth John the Baptist. Mary submitted, but Zechariah had to go through a humbling experience until his miracle would come to pass. However, when John was born, the first thing that Zechariah, his father, did when he was able to speak was prophesy and praise the Lord. Sometimes the reason that some of our miracles have not come to pass yet could be because we need a humbling experience, either something like that of Zechariah or something, some kind of humbling experience, so that we can come out of it all with praise, with worship, and prophesying. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 1. After Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he was hurt. You probably could not imagine the pain. Think about it. Your fiance just got pregnant, and it's not your baby. According to Jewish tradition, being espoused to someone is just the same as being married. You just haven't completed all of the ceremony and the consummation of the marriage. So Joseph was considered married to Mary. That's why this was such a big deal. The Bible doesn't go into detail, but I bet it was a lot of fussing and arguing going on. I bet Joseph wanted to know who got Mary pregnant. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He was going to divorce her. This showed how much Joseph loved Mary, who was about 14 years old or so. They say between 14 or 17 when she gave birth to Jesus. So, you know, but 12 years old is the usual age in the old Jewish law for marriage for girls. Joseph could have made this public, because according to the laws of Moses, Mary should have been stoned, even at the age of 14. As far as he could see, she broke one of the Ten Commandments, which states, thou shalt not commit adultery. If anyone committed adultery, both the woman and the man should be stoned to death according to the Torah. But God justified Mary because Mary did not break God's law. She did not commit adultery or fornication, for she was considered a virtuous woman in the sight of God, and God protected her. He protected her, unlike the many other women during Mary's time and before her time who had gotten pregnant by other men other than their husbands. Many of them lied out of fear of being stoned and said that they were the virgin that was spoken of in Isaiah, which states as follows, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. But of course, they were found to be liars, all of them. Here's one reason why they were found to be liars, because some of them had girls. But Mary was the real deal. She was really that virgin prophesied about in Isaiah. However, God had to confirm this to Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But while he, Joseph, thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. The Lord had to confirm this to Joseph. He didn't know what was going on. As far as he was concerned, Mary committed adultery, but she didn't. And the Lord confirmed her innocence. Can you imagine how relieved he was to know that Mary had not been with another man, and how he must have felt honored at the same time, just knowing that God, the great God, would choose his house and his wife for such a blessing as to be the stepfather to the Messiah, the Christ. Verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He was called Jesus, which means Savior. And in Hebrew, he is Yeshua, meaning salvation. He was God born into the world, God incarnated, God manifested in the flesh. He was Yahweh on earth, Elohim, or Emmanuel. He was God in the midst of them. God was among his people. Let's continue. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, before we get into the wise men, let's talk about Herod a little bit. Herod was a Jew that the Romans appointed king of a small Jewish state in Judea. He was known as a madman. He murdered 7 members of his own family and many rabbis. He was a Jew and known as Herod the Great because he was the greatest builder in Jewish history. He built Herod's temple. The wise men from the east, which were Persian men, they were also considered priests. They were believers of God. They were the descendants of the Magi taught by Daniel over 500 years before the time of Jesus. They came to Jerusalem to worship the real king of the Jews, Jesus Christ, because they saw his star, just as Daniel had taught their forefathers. They were not only on camels, but they were on Persian horses and elephants as well. And they traveled 1,000 miles, and it was more than just 3 wise men. It was a host, some say over 100. They were a caravan. Herod was troubled about this because he would do anything to keep his title as king. And now there are over 100 men from the east here at Jerusalem to worship another king? Herod wouldn't have it. Verse 4 through 6. When he had gathered, talking about Herod, when Herod had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he commanded them where Christ would be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, or shall rule my people Israel. Now the chief priests and scribes were the people who knew the Torah, the Psalms, and the prophets. They knew the law and the prophets and the book of Psalms and all of that. They taught and read these scriptures in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So after conferring with them, the scribes and Pharisees, Herod privately held another meeting with the wise men as well and diligently asked them what time the star appeared. And from knowing the time the star appeared, he could estimate how old the child would be by now. Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem to search diligently for the child. He told them to find the baby and give him words so that he himself could come and worship him also. You see how deceitful Herod was? Herod was possessed by Satan and some kind of demon. He was possessed either by Satan or a demon of some sort. He had no intentions of worshiping the Lord. He wanted to kill baby Jesus. But the wise men didn't know this at first, so they departed to Bethlehem, and the star continued to guide them until the star stood right over the house where the baby Jesus was. Verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now Jesus was 2 years old at this time, so they never saw Jesus in a manger, as tradition tells us. But they saw Jesus as a little toddler in a house, as scripture states. The magi, or wise men, fell down and worshipped him. There was a reason that they brought with them frankincense, myrrh, and gold. These were the gifts befitting a king in the ancient world. These were the gifts Daniel had given their forefathers to give to the Messiah over 500 years before his birth. Gold is a precious metal. It represented the nature of Jesus, the nature of God, being God in the flesh, and his kingship, and frankincense as perfume or incense represented the sweet-smelling savor of Jesus Christ, our sacrificial lamb, into the nostrils of God, which also typified his priesthood, his priestly role, and myrrh as anointing oil, which confirmed the fact that he is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, and actually prophesying of his death and embalming. Remember when the woman whose name was Mary anointed his feet with perfume for his burial and his body being anointed and prepared with spice after his death? All of this pointed to the office, the work, and the sufferings of Jesus Christ. An angel of the Lord told Joseph, Mary's husband, to leave Bethlehem because Herod was seeking to kill the baby Jesus. And Joseph obeyed and went to Egypt to fulfill scripture. You see, the Lord said in Matthew chapter 2, verse 15, where he stayed, because they were in Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled the Lord had said through the prophet, Egypt I called my son. So he did call him out of Egypt. Here's a quick revelation. Remember when Moses first came to Pharaoh, Moses said, thus saith the Lord, let my son Israel go. Remember? In Exodus chapter 4, verses 22 and 23, and thou shalt say, this is the Lord telling Moses what to say to Pharaoh. He said, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto you, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if you refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay your son, even your firstborn. This was prophetic of Jesus Christ. And just as Israel came out of Egypt, so did Jesus, our Messiah, the real Israel, came forth out of Egypt according to Scripture. And so shall we, us, the sons of God, in this hour, come forth out of Egypt, which today represents the world. The Lord warned the wise men in a dream that they should not return to Herod, so they went back to their own country another way. Herod was very angry at the wise men, so he ordered his soldiers to kill every male child 2 years old and under in the city of Bethlehem and all the coast, all around. The Lord really led Joseph, I have to say, because the Lord knew he could trust Joseph. He could trust that Joseph would always obey, and he did. Joseph did. He always obeyed. God had to put his faith in Joseph. He had to put his faith in his angels and in his prophets. God is moved by faith, his faith, his own faith, and our faith. God has faith that we will finish the course that he has placed us on in this hour, which is his straight and narrow pathway. There was a lot of spiritual activity going on during the time of Jesus' birth. For example, the angel Gabriel appeared before Zechariah and Mary. It's a spiritual activity that took place. Joseph was instructed by an angel in a dream many times. And an angel appeared before shepherds at night. And the host of heaven appearing after the angel spoke with the shepherds and began to praise God. The sound of the praise of angels were rolling off the mountains in a great light that would light up the sky and then start rolling up and down the mountains as the angels sang praises to God. Now, this was something that was clearly seen. It was a great sight, and many people came out of their houses round about to see what this was. What is this? The sound of the angels would start low and crescendo. It would rise to a high forte as the angels and the bright light would roll up and down the mountains round about. The Holy Spirit was moving strongly during that time. He even anointed John the Baptist while in his mother's womb. He leaped when he heard the salutation of Mary. All Mary said was, "Hi." And the Holy Spirit hit John the Baptist and he leaped in her womb. The Lord anointed Elizabeth so that she was able to have a child in her old age. And the Holy Spirit gave her knowledge to know that Mary was pregnant before Mary had a chance to tell her. She knew by the Holy Spirit that Mary was pregnant with the Lord. And Elizabeth prophesied. The Holy Spirit fell upon Mary, and she prophesied also. And she miraculously brought forth the Son of God. The Holy Spirit told Simeon, an old man, that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ. And he saw him. He saw Jesus. Then Simeon prophesied to Mary and Joseph concerning Jesus. And right at that moment, Anna the prophetess also came in and gave thanks to God. And she spoke of Jesus to all that wanted redemption in Jerusalem. In other words, Anna preached. She was a preacher. Jesus grew up and ministered to many people, healing them, casting out demons, raising the dead, and doing all kinds of miracles, signs, and wonders. He became our sacrificial lamb and died for the sins of the world and rose from the dead to reconcile us to the Lord. So let us all remember that Jesus isn't a baby anymore. So let's not keep him a baby. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He is the Lord God, strong and mighty, and he has dominion over the heavens and the earth. Therefore, now, in this hour, the Christ Mass story continues. You notice I didn't say Christmas, I said Christ Mass story continues. Because now the sons of God shall be born. The sons of God is a mass of Christ-like people, a mass of people who are Christ-like, a Christ mass, the anointed ones, the man-child company. Revelation 12, verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. The church is going through a time of trouble, of tribulation and persecution. And out of that tribulation and persecution, the man-child company or the sons of God shall be born. Verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was called up unto God and to his throne. Just as Jesus was born and then called up to God and to his throne, so shall we, the sons of God, in this hour shall be born and called up to God and to his throne to be on the right side of Jesus Christ himself. God is waiting to show forth the sons of God to the world. And the world, believe it or not, is waiting for us as well. We are a Christ mass of true believers, and the world wants to see us. Romans chapter 8, verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. We are waiting for the full manifestation of our new birth, of our very own new birth, the full manifestation of our new birth that will be clearly seen by all. We are God's sons and daughters, reborn into the world. We are born again believers, but this time it will be plain to see. We will be brought to light. The end result of our new birth will be visible to the world. The world will know that we are the seed whom the Lord has blessed. The world will know that just as Jesus is the Son of the living God, they will physically be able to see that we are the sons of the living God. And then comes the kingdom of God upon this earth. And that, my friends, is the real story. That, my friends, is the real Christ Mass story. Praise the Lord. Don't go away.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hope and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, The angels keep their watch of wondrous love. Oh, morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God our King, and peace to men on earth. Hallelujah.
Blame will be We've traveled so
From the McCain family to yours, Merry Christmas. Goodbye.